broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Ben Crenshaw, it is so good to hear your voice. And I know you're really busy doing all kinds of stuff, and I can't wait to talk to you again one day. We've got a flash flood watch for Saturday morning through Sunday afternoon. So this morning through Sunday for Oahu, and a flash flood watch through Sunday afternoon for Maui County. No longer that warning. And today through Monday, it's going to be mostly cloudy. A lot of rain, possibly some heavy, heavy downpours. We had one firefighter get swept into one of the storm drains he was trying to clear out. Terrible situation there. Thoughts and prayers that they get better. So locally heavy rainfall is possible. Thunderstorms possible. Yo, you know, you hear it in the distance. Put your clubs down. I'm not talking about, you know, leaving your game, but just don't be holding a club. The high today could be 84 degrees, the low 70. Locally strong northeasterlies to easterlies, 15 to 30 miles per hour. Now, I always say that golfers are like ducks, because regardless of the weather, they are out. But apparently at Waiahu on Maui, they were sold out, but nobody's showing up because it's raining so heavy. Volcano, it's 53 degrees, an 838, a 922. Hapuna, oh, sorry, I don't have a tea time for you right now. Makale has a 1010. Poipu, the Southside Men's Club, may you all hit the sweet spot every time. And you blue suede shoe boys. I can't imagine. Imagine playing golf in blue suede shoes and then cleaning them afterwards. There is an 840, and that's the only tee time at Poipu. There's Hawaii Kai has an 832, Turtle Bay a 920, Raw Hawaiian Country Club a 928, Eva Beach a 910. And we've got, Waiahu, I mentioned that. Wailea. There's a Gold Course a 930, and Emerald Course has an 810, where it's cart path only. And the blue course has a 9 o'clock. All right, that's the weather. Those are your tee times. Matt Janella is going to kick it off with us this morning. Can't wait to talk with Matt Janella, executive producer, the Fire Pit Collective. Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, just back from the PGA show. Steve Pike is joining us. Adam Shupak. We'll be back with Matt right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors: MD Restoration, water, flood, broken pipe cleanup, 24/7 licensed and insured. Aloha Power's Megastore is open behind the Costco gas station in Iwilei. Aloha Power Equipment, Iwilei and Waipahu. We put power at your fingertips. SciPact Cybersecurity, an elite group of cyber specialists providing the deepest level of protection anywhere in Hawaii. Call 808-861-9595. And Aloha Section PGA, teach your children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts forever. Now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Hey, listening to Hawaii 5-0, the Ventures version of the Hawaii 5-0, I was thinking about surfing for some reason. It brought surfing to mind. And, of course, the Eddie Aikau, and Matt Janella is joining us. Matt Janella is executive producer of the Fire Pit Collective. Welcome into the clubhouse, Matt.
Great. Thanks for having me, Danielle. Always a pleasure. I want to keep this nice and brief because I want to catch that Wailea Gold 9:30 tee time. I want to scoop that up.
You want to go out there in the rain? Yes.
Doesn't rain on that side of the island, does it? Is it rain?
Yeah, it's raining. It's pouring. Yes. It's coming down hard. But, you know, I was thinking about, you know, with the Eddie, I was thinking about your nephews. Did they go out? Did they tell you anything?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, wait. I'll send you some photos after this. But Noah Janella went out on, and he didn't. He didn't go. You know, he wasn't part of the event, but he surfed kind of the inside of Eddie, which I think was still 30-foot waves. And my brother sent me these images of him, and it's really impressive. They're all incredible kids. North Shore of Oahu, they grew up out there. I said they have gills, not lungs. And these guys are incredible watermen, honestly. And they've taught me everything I know. So
that's wonderful. That's great. I just knew it. I just knew your nephews were out there. I didn't think they were surfing in 30-foot waves, but that's awesome. Yeah. That is awesome. And also what's awesome is I love what you've done. The Grind, this docuseries, I watched it and it's riveting. I mean, I wanted to go, okay, let's, you know, oh, let's see, what is his name? It went right out of my head.
Mark Baldwin, yeah.
Yes.
Mark Baldwin.
What a story.
Yeah. 16 years as a PGA, you know, as a professional golfer. Played on, you know, every mini tour I think there is. And this is, you know, as you're saying, it's a docuseries on dreamers, what we call dreamers, people who, you know, are pushing all in on themselves. It costs them $80,000 to $100,000 a year in costs, travel, entry fees, all the, you know, all the bells and whistles that go with being a kind of a, what you'd think of as a tour player. But for these men and women who are on these minor league tours, it's an insane what they're going through to try to make it to the big time. You know, even in, if you look at minor league baseball, even in single A ball, you're getting your costs covered. You got travel covered. You get some food money, you know, all that's taken care of. So you're not going backwards. At least then it's a decision based on you and your talents and your opportunities. For most people at this level of professional golf, they run out of money. That's why they don't pursue their dreams anymore. It doesn't have anything to do with talent or skill. I mean, you know, over time you've got to learn. Golf is not something, you know, that you just get good at overnight. And there are exceptions, obviously Rory and Tiger and Rahm and people who, you know, who skip that level of golf. But the thousands of people who can shoot 63 on any given day is impressive. Their amount of opportunities to get paid to play professionally is very small and minimal. And so we're just trying, you know, at Fire Pit Collective and what we're doing with this docuseries called The Grind, in which we're featuring 12 different players in 15 episodes. It's really just to try to showcase what's going on down there, get some more eyeballs on this level of professional golf and provide them more opportunities to try to, you know, get some exemptions or get some sponsorships, offset some of the costs that they're going through to make a living.
It's so good. It just grabs you because it takes you into the world of Mark Baldwin, who's 39, went to Notre Dame, competed on 5 continents, known for his effortless length off the tee, holds status. Doesn't he still hold status on the Korn Ferry Tour?
Not anymore. Oh. Not at this point. But you know, the 16 years. He's played in 3 different PGA Tour events. Okay, this is how that razor thin line of being, you know, Mark Baldwin versus being, you know, a Will Zalatoris. Mark Baldwin has got those 3 PGA Tour starts. He's made the cut in all 3 of them. All 3 times he played at the PGA Tour level, he made the cut. Which goes to show you that he has the talent, but it's just a matter of time and opportunities that he needs to try to solidify a position and points to stay there.
What was really the part that got me the most, in addition to the fantastic cinematography, was the family life. When he gets a call from his wife saying their son, an infant, has woken up or she's gone to the crib and found blood in the mattress, and she calls him and he's God knows how many miles away, and you know, what does he do? Does he fly home or does he play the round that he's scheduled to play to get into a tournament? If there's so much drama in addition to some of the things that the girls were talking about, you know, the grind never leaves you, wanting to be in that grind.
It's you know, and everybody in every industry, right? I mean, we're all on our own personal grind, but I think in as it relates to golf. And going backwards $80,000 to $100,000, and yet they still chase it. Again, 16 years. You know, at what point do you decide? Yeah. All right, I'm going to go do something else.
Yeah.
And that's that's what we're documenting here. And yeah, and it's not just can I shoot the good scores, but can I shoot the good scores knowing that back home, my wife is dealing with an issue with our baby that, you know, we don't even know what the answers are. Like, how do you compartmentalize all of that and still try to shoot that round of your life on that day in which you're given this opportunity where you could, you know, if you shoot that score, you can get an exempt, you know, you get into the tournament. If you get in the tournament, can you have two good rounds to get you in the cut, make the cut? Wait till you see next week. We're dropping on Tuesday on Fire Pit Collective's YouTube channel, episode 2 of Mark Baldwin, in which he gets his sponsor's exemption to AT&T and what he does with that exemption. So he goes from that crazy stretch of all that, you know, missed cuts or missed opportunities with Monday qualifiers and getting COVID during Big Money Classic to then getting this exemption and what he does with it. It's a little more uplifting. I will say episode 2 is a little more uplifting, but also still revealing as it relates to the grind.
I was not depressed at all watching it because the buoyancy of Mark Baldwin came through.
Yeah.
You know, there was always the dream was there and he was pursuing the dream. And even he says at one point, you know, I could have gotten a job and I'd have money in the bank and I wouldn't be living with my in-laws.
It's incredible, right? If only I wasn't so good, then I'd actually have money in the bank. It's basically his point. I wish I wasn't this good. And that's the reality.
Yes, he knows he can. And then you mentioned the COVID. He has two fantastic rounds of golf, right? No one thinks they can shoot a great round. No one, but then he does. He's like, he's on fire. And then he doesn't feel well, and he's going home, and he tests positive. It's like all of this, the baby, the COVID, as was it his caddy who said he can't catch a break?
Yeah, and we actually, I don't know if you've listened yet, but we also do an accompanying podcast with Mark and his wife that you can listen to. You know, if you liked episode 1 of the show, then you can, you know, kind of go down the rabbit hole, and we do it a podcast where they reflect on now having watched that episode and that time in their life, and you get kind of closure on what Sarah was, Mark's wife, was dealing with their son Miles's sickness for that stretch of time. And, you know, they're so inspiring. They're so committed to each other. They're committed to Mark's career. They're committed to working together as a team. She used to caddy for him. Now she's home watching the site. It's really amazing.
Yeah, and her parents are amazing.
Yeah.
Because they're supporting his dream. They're at the time they were living. I don't know if it's still the case. I've got to watch the next episode, see? I mean, just really pulls me in. Now let's talk a little bit about who is, I mean, filming this. How did you get this off the ground? This is it looks like an expensive undertaking.
Yeah, it is. Tell me about it. Yeah, there leads to the, we're trying to connect the dots on the business side of things, but Golf Tech is a very good sponsor of this and a perfect partner for us on this project. There's probably been 15 to 20 people involved in this docuseries from the Fire Pit Collective's perspective in terms of producers and writers and shooters and editors and Marco Escalante is our lead editor and has shouldered a big load of putting all of this together, but he's got a great support. Greg Louie is another editor that we use. Alex Upegi helped a lot on the production end on the front end, and then, you know, myself and Alan Shipnuck. But honestly, this all is about Ryan French at Monday Q Info on Twitter. When we first, he was our hire number one at Fire Pit Collective. When he first started, he was doing these one-off features, Hayden Springer, Nick Biondi, Mark Baldwin. And that's when we started doing these one-off features is when I started feeling like, wait a minute, given where we are with modern media, with distribution, with our love of the docuseries style like Hard Knocks or Top Class on Sierra Canyon's basketball team or Drive to Survive on F1, it was like, why can't we do something like that for golf? And this seemed to make sense. You know, what the stories that Ryan uncovers at this mini tour level are so compelling and so relatable. If we package them together in this long form immersive storytelling strategy, are we, you know, is that the better way of trying to bundle this content and create this series, you know, series presentation? And that's where we are. That's what we're trotting out right now.
Yeah, there's a quote, you know, about from French. It's a dream come true to see these players spotlighted in such a dramatic or dynamic way, rather. It blows me away how good the production values are in these episodes. So where did you get the crew to do this? Were they already a part of your Fire Pit collective?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we brought a lot of that production element in-house so that it is a little more affordable, so to speak. Yeah. And then, you know, but we've, you know, I've been, you know, telling stories in this manner. You know, I've started the Golf Channel.
Yes.
I guess 11 years ago.
Yes.
And then, you know, so working with shooters and producers and camera crews all over the world. So over time, you know, as you know,
it rubs off on
relationships in this industry. So you pick up people who you like to work with or are good at what they do and help you tell these types of stories. And you'll see it's an exhaustive endeavor, but I think it's all going to be well worth it.
Yeah. Born at Sports Illustrated, raised at Golf Digest, and fun run at Golf Channel. And now Matt Ginella, executive producer, the Fire Pit Collective. Now, for folks who haven't heard of it, what is the Fire Pit Collective?
It's just you know, myself and Alan Shipnuck and Michael Bamberger and Ryan French and Laz Versailles. And, you know, this is a group of storytellers that have gotten together who legacy media is what it is and new media is what it is. And we kind of fit somewhere in between. We're not influencers. We're storytellers. We're out there trying to, inform, inspire, and entertain is kind of the guiding lights of what we're trying to do. If we find good stories, we put it out in a read, watch, and listen format. So if you like watching it and I like reading it and Ben Crenshaw likes listening
yes.
to it, it's still a good story, right? Why not put it out in all different forms? So video, you know, website, firepitcollective.com, podcasts on all the stages. We have Jeff Ogilvie, who's an investor and part of our storytelling unit. He has a podcast with Bamberger and Shipnuck called Need a Fourth, which we basically stole the Smartless mentality of surprising the other two hosts with a guest. That's a big hit for what we're doing. Everybody has their own vertical. Mine's lifestyle and travel, and Alan's is the professional game and this fight for the soul of the game of the tour versus live, and Bamberger's involved in that. Ryan French is dreamer. So what I was thinking about when I was at Golf Channel is there a better way? Is there a more efficient way of telling these stories and allowing, instead of always cutting everything down to a 3.5 to 5 minute TV production, which you got to go to break or you got to keep things tight and quick and moving. I always said we killed the cow on all the stuff and we only ate the filet. Why don't we use everything? Why don't we put things out longer form? Because in some cases, give people the option. If you want more of Mark Baldwin, here it is. Let you have it. You know, instead of 4 minutes, give you 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you can have both. If you got 20 minutes, you can have both. You can have the 20-minute version. You can have the 4-minute version. You can have a bunch of socials. You can put it on a podcast, put it on a website. And that's the Fire Pit Collective.
Wow, that's great. So well done. And this is The Grind, an immersive docuseries, in addition to the many podcasts and the writing. But I love what you said about these episodes, The Grind, an immersive docuseries. Lost in the greed of the top tier of professional golf are tens of thousands of pros struggling to get by telling their stories, bringing their challenges to life. Our hope is that more of these players get the opportunity to make a decent living playing professional golf. You raise a really good point there about making a decent living playing professional golf, and other places like AAA ball, whatever it is, you do get these stipends. Do you see something like that coming out of the PGA Tour?
Well, I think, and again, I've had this conversation. I'm not pro Saudi Arabia. I'm not pro, Liv or pro Greg Norman, and politics aside, I'm just not pro Donald Trump. But what I am is pro the disruption of what was the monopolistic control over professional golf that the PGA Tour has had for so long. I am pro the idea that there is this breakaway tour that forces the exposure of the PGA Tour to say, who are we? What are we? What is the setup? What's the business model? Why aren't there more opportunities for these elite master, you know, masters at their craft to make a living? You know, again, if you're a chef and you're a good chef, you can get a job at a restaurant or start your own restaurant and make a decent living. If you're a great chef, you can go on and make a great living, right? In almost any industry, if you're good at what you do, which I would say if you can shoot 62, you're a very good golfer, especially on these, you know, back tees and in these conditions and under these elements, why aren't more opportunities being given to, you know, these thousands of people who can shoot that kind of number on any given day to make a living, just break even, or make 50 grand a year or make 150 grand a year? Why isn't there any kind of middle element of this sport that seems, you know, that needs to be served? In the old days, the PGA Pro, the club pro, you know, was making a living at the course they were working at. The Claude Harmans, for example, could make a decent living, you know, and offset some of their costs and then go out and travel and play the tour on occasion. But now it's so separated. You're either a professional golfer or you're a club pro, and it's just a much different career path. And so these pros, there just hasn't been this system that has been cultivated that allows these, you know, professional golfers an opportunity of having a career beyond either losing 100 grand or making millions. You know, look at Tony Finau. He was an incredible story, but now he's really, really rich. Like, if Tony Finau wins now, it's like, oh, great. You know, he's rich. Now he just got a little richer. You know what I mean? And if he wins a major, that's a whole different thing. But, you know, winning these PGA Tour events is like, I don't know. It's not nearly as compelling to me once they've become, like, mega rich. And that's why we think we want to focus on this dreamer category and bring these stories to life.
Now, how do we see them?
Yeah, it's all just firepitcollective.com, or go on to our YouTube channel, the Fire Pit Collective's YouTube channel, and that's where all of this is streaming, and then that's where you can watch. And then the listen, you know, we link on all the different podcast platforms. We're available there. But again, at the website, you can get links to all the different stuff we're talking about.
This is great. I have to change my title. CEO, you are CEO, not executive producer. Matt Ginella, CEO, the Fire Pit Collective. In 60 seconds, can you tell me what you think of Teagate when Patrick Reed flicked the tee?
It's so classic, right? This is for golf. Oh, my God, a guy threw a tee down at a guy. Whoa, this is crazy. Oh, my God, can you believe it? It's so classic. It's so funny. It's comical, to be honest with you. The idea that there's a lawsuit against Rory, and then Rory does, you know, gets served papers on Christmas Eve, you know. Oh, my gosh. And then Patrick Reed tries to shake his hand, and Rory doesn't want to shake his hand. It's like, to me, it's comical. And also, to me, it's exactly why we're doing the grind. Because at that level, all of this is so petty to me. It's all so, like, silly and frivolous and stupid. You know, they're all rich. They're getting richer. You know, I don't want you to do, you can't do that, but you could do this. You know, Rory and Tiger are creating a breakaway tour from a you know, kind of a simulator experience. But that's different from what these guys do over here, and that's not a breakaway tour, whatever. You know, the whole thing is an absolute dumpster fire. And I say, let them have their little petty little tea fights. In the meantime, from the collective standpoint, we're focused on the dreamers, where I think it's actually better stories.
Absolutely. Matt Ginella, CEO, the Fire Pit Collective. Thanks for spending time with us in the clubhouse.
Yeah. Always a pleasure to be with you, Danielle. Aloha to all my friends in the Hawaiian Islands. And apparently, you know, stay dry. That sounds crazy.
Staying dry would be very good. But we do need the water. So there you go. Thank you so much. Aloha.
All right. Talk soon, Danielle. Thank you.
We're going to come back, and we're going to talk with, you know, one of the best teachers in the world. His name is Claude Brousseau, PGA Master. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Iwilei.
Riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell. Honda, Maruyama, Steel, Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
What do you get for the person that has everything? We're proud to announce Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show logoed merchandise store is open. Just click the green button on our RadioGolfClub.com website to find an outstanding selection of golf club logoed items. Make an impact on the golf course with our range of clothing and accessories that ensure a smile with every package. Explore all golf styles from shirts, pants to jackets, and hats in your size and color. Visit Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club merchandise store today at RadioGolfClub.com. Fun at your fingertips with style.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, Director of Player Development, Wailea Golf Club at the Wailea Golf Club on Maui. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Aloha, Danielle. First and foremost, congrats for 25 years of hosting that great show. It's amazing.
Oh, thank
how
you.
Many lives you changed with the show. It's fantastic, and it's a privilege to be a guest.
No, thank you. I do have to mention, you know, Claude Brousseau is first a PGA Master. He is also Golf Digest certified instructor, Flight Scope certified professional, Aimpoint Level 3 certified instructor, Vision 54 authorized coach, talent contributor with Sports Illustrated's Morning Read, two videos a month this year, and V1 Sport coach ambassador. And just back from the National PGA Teaching and Coaching Summit at the PGA Show. And the 2023 theme, and I only know all of this because Claude sent me notes, delivering the experience. That kind of threw me a little bit. What does that mean, delivering the experience?
But it means that, you know, golf is about people first. We have human being, we have athlete, then golfer. So delivering the experience is making sure with all the technology we have and all, you know, how we can measure everything, we still have to remember that it's a game. It's about having fun. And for us coaches, make sure we have a balance between, I will say, over technology with some people, not enough with other. So delivering an experience that we create golfer. And it's about playing the game, not playing golf swing. So delivering the experience, we had so many great speakers there. So that was the theme of what we mean by delivering the experience.
So you had two full days from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. with presentations from the top coaches around the world and in the country? Wow.
Yes, Danielle. It's kind of being on steroid for and drinking from a fire hose. It's so stimulating. I mean, it's to me, it's a privilege to be around the elite of professional that in their feel and the way they share their information and how they encourage you. It's an inspiration. I mean, at the Coaching and Teaching Summit, we were 670 coach. And then we have 30 speakers. That was just fantastic. Then they did Also a tribute to Jack Lumpkin, who passed last year at the age of 86. He was the coach of Davis Love. For people who don't know him, he was at Sea Island for 33 years. And it was so emotional watching that and see aspect of how much fun they have in the workshop they did. And just it reminded us of how professional touches and influences people's life. So it was great.
And well, it sounds great. And I mean, the National PGA Teacher of the Year, Mike Malaska, Rick Sessinghaus, the coach of Colin Morikawa, Cheryl Anderson, Hal Sutton, Randy Smith, just to name a few of the many, and I've left so many out. There's one subject that really got me when, you know, we talk about, I ask Claude Rousseau, what should we talk about? And he said, how about we start with how to cure golf traumas?
But,
you know,
Daniel, you remember I used to be an ICU nurse before getting in golf. So I'm used with trauma. So I said, let's go with the title, you know, how to cure golf traumas. But in fact, the idea
Wait a second. For golfers, you might as well be in the ICU, you know.
Yes, that's true.
You know, when something happens on the golf course, you can't get it out of your head, and it's impacting the fun and the enjoyment of the game and getting out and feeling comfortable and confident. So how to cure golf traumas, please.
So, yes, absolutely. So the presentation was done by Addison Kern. She's a sport, a specialist in sport psychology. She's also a LPGA and a PGA master. And basically what she says that it's a little bit out there, if you want, in a sense for maybe. But when we sleep, we have a rapid eye movement in one of the cycle of the sleep. And then that's where the brain, I'm kind of making it you know, available
simple
for every level here,
right.
But it's serious, more scientific than that. But basically, when you sleep at that cycle of rapid eye movement, that's where the brain stores those bad experiences. Like if you look at a Morikawa, let's say at the century, or you look at all of us who miss a putt or score a ball on the other side of the green and double the hole and lost the tournament. So during that sleep cycle, the brain will store those information that we don't like. Then she has a program, and then we had experienced it there for a few minutes, you know, during her presentation. So what you can do is you can you will have a screen in front of you, and then you follow a dot, and you retrain that rapid eye movement that kind of will erase those bad trauma, golf trauma that you have. So I thought that was very interesting. So you follow the dots on the screen, and then there is some music behind it, and then it's kind of a delete, I will say, the trauma. So that's one way. Then she had another one is you can, let's say you're on a golf course, you can cross your arms and have your hands on your shoulders. And then if you just tap gently each shoulder, or you can tap your knee. So that's kind of send a different signal to your brain, and then you forget those golf trauma. So I thought it was very interesting.
I'm tapping my shoulders right now.
That's good, Daniel.
After 2 days of fascinating information intake, you probably were ready to get out on the floor. I mean, how long does it take to go through a PGA show just to walk it? Is it possible to walk the whole show?
Yes, it is, but it will take if you stop at every booth, because there is over 900 exhibitor. So if you walk every aisle and you stop at every place, that will take 2-3 days, basically.
40,000 people coming into the PGA show. It's an $84 billion golf industry. I think it was 1954 that it all started, of course, in a in a parking lot with guys selling their stuff out of trunks, you know, was kind of just a, almost like a, when you get together in a parking lot. Now, not only do we have this incredible golf industry, we also have a huge number of new golfers coming into the game. After the pandemic, a lot of people were afraid that the people who went out to play because it was a safe place to get outdoors and to exercise, that they were going to go. But they haven't gone. And I think the number is 500,000 more have come into the game. So all of these interesting things to make it a little bit easier are available at the PGA Show. And I thought we'd go through some of the cool products that Claude Brousseau came across. And I need to talk about the one, the first of all, because I love the pictures of you sitting on the Modo bag. What is the Modo bag?
It was so interesting, Daniel. So I see this big guy. He's a long drive contest on that. It's kind of your carry-on luggage that you have, but it's there's a motor, and then there is like handle coming out, and then it's kind of a, like a motorcycle, but it's all, you put your stock in it. I mean, when you travel, you can put that in the overhead bin. It's a FAA approved, and then it just helps you to move in the airport. And then I could picture, you know, oh my God, this will be like a interesting to see people going from one gate to another one with this little Modo bag. So basically it's a carry-on, but with an engine, and then you save time in between. Like I had to run like crazy to get my connection from Atlanta to Maui. And I said, wow, if I had that Modo bag, man, I can get there.
So it's like you could sit on your carry-on bag and it propels you through the airport. I'm seeing pictures of like 10, 15 little, all these people following like a caterpillar in, on their Modo bags through the airport. coming through, Modo here. But is it heavy?
No, it's not.
Wow.
It's, you take it, it's not, that's amazing, Danielle. It's not that heavy. And then it's almost, I will say, let's say empty carry-on is 2 pounds. This thing is about 5 pounds.
Wow. Wow.
You can still put your, you know, clothes in and everything you want in your carry-on, and you put it at the top of the bin in the airplane.
Wow. Okay. Well, that was great, and I love the pictures. Thank you. I'm going to have to post those. Sportsbox 3D Golf. What, you know, that doesn't tell me anything except for 3D. What's Sportsbox 3D Golf?
This is for the coaches, basically. So it's great with, you know, with AI, artificial intelligence now. It's really, we can see the product of that in the golf coaching. So basically that product, what it does is when you take the video face on of the players that you're coaching, this device will transform the video in 3D. So that means you can look at the swing from, you know, from the target side. You can look at, that's an avatar of you. Let's say, Daniel, I'm coaching you. I put you on video, face on. Then automatically, right now, I can split the screen and show you you and then that avatar of you. Then we can look at it from where you hit the ball, the target side, I will say. We can look at it from the top overview. We can look at it from the ground. We can look at it from down the line. We can look at it face on view. So it helps to match feeling real. So let's say you have a backswing and you got some limitation, or your backswing is your shoulder don't turn enough. So we can show you with that avatar how much you should turn. And the good thing is you can even use that for training, because we can set up numbers, and then when you reach it, it gives you the feedback, yes, I reached that X amount of degree of the turn that you need. We can measure your hands, your hips. It's a pretty cool device.
He sounds cool. I mean, yeah, now, wow, thank you. So let me backtrack just a minute. Modo Bag, if you want to find out more about that, it's at modobag.com. And if you're interested in the Sportsbox 3D Golf, it's at sportsbox.ai. And now we should really go into, let's see now, what else is on this list of things that you went to?
The putting view, Daniel.
Oh, yes. Okay. Putt View
and then
X.
The Wiz. I know we are limited on time, but let's.
No,
let's
we're
start
fine.
With, if it's okay. The putting view. So now it's not for everybody because of the pricing. But
$14,480, just so that you don't get too excited about putting on this pair of glasses. Okay, ready.
So you just put those pair of glasses, okay, and then in few seconds, these glasses will scan the green, and then you will see in front of you like a menu, and then just with your fingers, like a virtual reality screen. Of course, it's not there, but in your view, you see it. You can touch if you want to see the ideal line, if you want to see where your putter face is when you start. It will read the break for you, so it's instant. You can go, and then you can use it indoor. You see, I'm excited about that.
Yes.
You can use it indoor, and then you can use it outdoor. I mean, you just put the glasses on. You see, I'm going and practicing my course today. On the first green, it will give you the break, the distance. It's just an amazing thing. And those glasses is they're on your head. You don't even feel it. It's pretty cool.
You obviously put them on. Did they have a putting green for you to see?
They also have, yes, if you train inside for the coaches, let's say, who do stuff indoor, they got a big, they can build a putting green for you, and then you are you can see six people at the time watching them putting. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and then you can control it with your voice commands and gestures.
So you will see, like, you know, when you say Siri, please call Daniel Tucker. So you will say Siri. This is the hole. Not Siri, but the putt view.
Yeah.
Putt view. This is the ball. Okay. You walk to the ball. You say, this is the ball, and then you and automatically in few seconds, I mean instantly, whoop, you see the line.
Wow.
It's pretty amazing how all that technology will increase the speed of people to improve. I firmly believe that.
Yeah. Okay. Wait a minute. Is it legal? Could I wear it like while I'm playing?
Well, I don't think you will see Rory or Lydia Kosun on the green with that during a tournament. But some players use it. They use it for training though, because it helps you to validate. You will see, oh my God, I've never played that putt that high. Let's say reading the break.
Right. Boy, that is, that's something. And let's, real quick, DeWiz. I mean, DeWiz. Like,
That one is good for coaches and also players. This is more affordable. It's around $500,
okay.
Roughly.
Not 14,000. Okay.
Yeah, 14,000, that's a little bit steep. But, you know, if you want to be an early adopter, your wallet won't like it.
Yeah.
But, okay, DeWiz. The Wiz is great because it's kind of the size of a watch. And then that's also, let's say, I think one of the way we can really use it is helping people to know, you know, when you say you should do, if we use a clock for pitching motion, let's say, okay, your arm should go 9 o'clock, just as an example. Well, quite often people go way more. And then with the Wiz, we have data, and then it's a biofeedback, either with sound, and don't worry, it's not an electric shock, and we're not going there yet.
But
you will have a little vibration to tell you where you should be. So we can measure the speed, the transition. One I like a lot, you know, when we tell people about, oh, the transition has to be smooth, so it's giving you the time of the transition, is telling you if you're either getting too steep, coming down too vertical with the shaft, or too behind in real time. So it's I think it could help. Again, the challenge for us coach is adapting to the person in front of us. And then when you get two like that, maybe just one or two swing can click for the players.
And this is like a watch, like an Apple Watch that
correct.
You wear on your
correct.
Wrist. Wonderful, right. And it just gives you a little not a not an electric shock.
Not an electric shock.
It just vibrates, so you get an idea. Yeah, oh, this is great. Gosh, got it. It makes me want to go, you know? I got to go.
Can I say one more thing,
Daniel? Of course you can.
So every Thursday we have a PGA Master lunch at the show. And then they invite people to speak to us. And this year they had Dr. Stephen Norris from Calgary in Canada. He's a world-renowned person for performance in leadership. His presentation, Daniel, was unbelievable on, you know, the PGA organization and us, PGA Pro, because we are looked at like the leader in the industry. So we have a responsibility to make sure that we lead the industry in the right direction. And it was just fabulous. That presentation was wow.
And that sounds wonderful. I mean, I wanted to mention this because, this is Claude Brousseau. He's a master PGA. And he's looking forward to coaching. And he's so good at it. People fly here to take lessons with him. And he's also got a book. So if you can't fly here, you might want to check out his book. It's at claudeforbestgolf.com. And at the top left corner, you can see buy now. It's including the shipping. It's only $33. And he'll autograph it. What is the name of the book?
It's Realize Your Golfing Potential, Pro-Efficient Swing for the Short Game. So
a proficient. You want to be a pro, like a professional, a pro-efficient golf swing. Claude Brousseau, thank you so much for being on the show inside the clubhouse and telling us on the moto bag to the airport. Claude Brousseau, PGA Master Director of Player Development, Wailea Golf Academy, on the Wailea Golf Club Emerald Course, which, by the way, is cart path only today. How's the weather?
Right now, the sun seems to want to come out. I see a nice little rainbow out of my academy here. So, so it's pretty cool.
Yes.
We'll be ready to play without the water today.
Right, and I just saw the time, and you've got somebody coming in shortly.
Correct.
Okay, I'll let you go. Claude Brousseau, thank you for being inside the clubhouse. PGA Master, Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Club on Maui. We're going to come back after this. Steve Pike is joining us. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
No high fives for me?
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
You can buy new equipment and practice your swing, but peace of mind is the best way to improve your game. Our mission at SIPAC is to safeguard organizations from cyber attacks and business disruption. We are an elite group of cybersecurity specialists providing the deepest level of cyber protection anywhere in Hawaii. As local residents with businesses and families, we are fully invested in protecting Hawaii's livelihoods and assets with the serenity that comes from having SIPAC watching your network and infrastructure so you can completely focus on your next swing. Call 808-861-9595 or on the web at SIPAC.com. That's CYPA.com.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. COVID compliant. Fire damage repair.
Mold remediation.
Asbestos abatement. Call 528-3434. And now,
get MD cleaned.
Ball set up sweetly in the bunker. I set myself comfortably into the sand, swing for under the ball, and it sails up onto the green and into the hole. Let's go back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Steve Pike, owner, editor, Spike at Sino on golf and travel. It's Spike on golfandtravel.com. Spike, like Steve Pike, only it's Spike on golfandtravel.com. Award-winning travel writer, defined golf business in the 1990s for Golf Week, for Golf World, golf shop operations for the New York Times Magazine, Golf Digest. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Hello, Danielle. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited because a friend of mine, a wonderful instructor, just left the show yesterday, managed to get back for a lesson he's giving today. An amazing person, Claude Brousseau. And you, is this your 34th year attending the PGA show?
It's the 34th year attending the one in Orlando, yes. That doesn't include all the ones that have been held in the summers in Las Vegas, Anaheim, Long Beach, Reno, San Diego.
Yes, it is. You're all over the place.
Well, I haven't done those in a long time, so we'll just stick with the 34 in
Orlando. Okay, we're going to go with PGA. Now, it used to be called the PGA Merchandise Show. Did they change the name, or have we just dropped the merchandise?
No, I think you dropped the merchandise because back in the day when I first started covering it, it was more of a trade show, a true trade show, because a lot of products were launched there, and equipment writers such as myself, business writers, they didn't really know what was coming from the manufacturers until the show where was launched.
Yes.
But as product cycles increased, sometimes two and three times a year, then everybody knew what was coming earlier. Now you have product that's being introduced as early as October that might not be ready for delivery or sale at retail until February, but it's out being sold in and being marketed as early as September, October, November.
Right.
So the show then just becomes more of an expo. It doesn't really change the show's importance to a lot of people. It just changes a little bit of the dynamic. If you're a major company, for example, and you're a sales rep at a major company and you've taken a lot of orders at the show, then you haven't done your job the past 3 months. It's more of an expo. I guess that's the best way to put it.
And it's very well put. I like the fact that they unveiled things. It's like, here, open the curtain. This is what you're going to, this is what we're doing. But that doesn't, then sales don't pick up. And for a while, it's you got to get the word out. And then those guys go back to their homes and their businesses. And so this actually highlights a lot of the most interesting facets of the game of golf. As the Modo bag was discussed a little bit earlier. The carry-on that you can sit on through the airport, and it's motorized and it gets you through the airport.
I mean,
right.
We see a lot of the motorized caddy you know, pull carts these days. There was a couple, well, the one in particular that I liked is called Bat Caddy.
Tell us about it.
It's got a lithium battery. It's even got a seat.
So what does the Bat Caddy do?
The Bat Caddy, when you put your bag on the Bat Caddy, it follows you wherever you want it to go on the golf course.
Oh, it follows you. How does it know where you're going?
Well, because you have the little remote control.
So there's a sensor between...
And it goes forward and you follow it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay,
yeah, there are several like that out there. I think the Bat Caddy is one of the better ones because it's more lightweight, more portable. The wheels come off, so it's easy to put in your truck. It compresses, so it's easy to put in your trunk.
I love it.
Another one is called, one of my favorites, it's called Revolve Golf. Now, it doesn't have the motorized function to it, so it's obviously a lot less money, but it is a golf bag, a standard, basically a cart bag with wheels that you can pull around the golf course if you want, or just pull up to from the parking lot to your golf car, wherever. The wheels easily come off, and it transforms into a regular golf bag that you put on your golf course. You can probably carry it if you want.
Wow. This is interesting.
So there's things like that that are that sort of fly under the radar because everyone wants to go in and see the Titleist and the Callaways and the Mizunos and Cobras,
yeah.
Bridgestones. But it's the stuff that from the entrepreneurs and the small businessmen who really keep the show. I don't want to say they keep it alive, but they keep it interesting because they're the ones who come up with stuff that you don't really know about.
Exactly. And they're inventors. And that's the beauty. It's the beauty of the game.
They are inventors, yes.
Yes, yes. So, go ahead.
No, I was going to say they are inventors to the point now where we're seeing a lot of what's called augmented reality, which I think is another term for sort of a virtual reality. And a couple of the ones we saw there, one is called Watch It Golf, which it works off of apps on your iPhone, and it will take you and your instructor through all sorts of golf lessons and detail down to your swing planes and your distances and all of that sort of thing, you know, very, very accurately.
I'm in love with this, okay? Watch It Golf is an app.
Yes.
It's an app for your iPhone. It's like a launch monitor, right? And see, for me, the idea of going get another gadget, it's just not appealing. But if I've got the iPhone, if I just put the app on the iPhone, then the iPhone becomes my launch. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's different price points for what different things you want it to do and that sort of thing. But yeah, it's very functional and it's easy to use. It's very clean.
Nice, yeah.
What's a little bit more, I'm not going to say it's a little bit more sophisticated, but it's different. Is what is called Putt View, P-U-T-T, View, V-I-E-W.
Yes.
It is another augmented reality piece of technology that helps you read the contours of greens and read your putting path. It costs about $15,000, okay? And you put the device on your head like you would a virtual reality piece of apparatus.
Yes.
Apparatus. Uh-huh. And there's an indoor version and an outdoor version, and it will read the contour of whatever that green is that you set up, whether it's indoors or outdoors, and help you make that putting. It'll show you the stroke, the path to the hole, and show you how to hit that path to the hole, and then it'll track the ball as to whether you made it into the hole, hit and miss, that sort of thing. And both of those, the watching golf and the
Putt View
were manufactured, I believe, by German companies.
Really?
just getting into the U.S. market. Yeah.
I mean, you know, Germany wasn't considered when I started doing this show, like a long time ago. 25 years ago, I would often, you know, see what was happening in European countries, because in Switzerland, there's, you know, been a tournament played for a long time. And
sure.
Right. And so, but it's not something that everybody plays in Europe, at least back then. You know, they had something interesting. They would play city golf, where they'd actually
right.
hit the ball through the cities.
Right.
That sounded just so scary. I couldn't imagine my being able to do that without breaking every window
well,
in
that's
sight.
That's sort of like Grand Theft Auto for golf.
Yes, there you go. And yeah. So but the idea now that the Germans are getting into the swing of things and have such a basis for them to say, oh yeah, let's get into this golf business. That's an interesting growth factor.
Yeah, it's obviously the technology is used for a lot of different things, and golf is just one. And but it's another way, particularly for teachers to teach, and I think more important, depending on the student, depending on what the teacher thinks, it's another way for the average player or any player to learn to teach themselves. Yeah, I think that instruction and golf teachers are good. I use one myself, but the best teachers are the ones who teach you how to correct what you do yourself.
Yes, yes, you and know, that's
it can't be with you every step of the way. These things can be with you almost every step of the way, and particularly with watching golf. As soon as you're done playing, you can go back on your phone and look at everything.
Exactly. That's the beauty of that. It's right there, right there, and it doesn't cost me more than the app does. How much is the app, do you know?
I think they go up, depending on the technology and what you want, as much as $3,000.
Oh, well, it's less than $15,000.
It is.
But when
it
I... When
the
I,
one thing...
Yes.
The one thing that I think, and it's just me, like all of that stuff is great as long as you don't get married to it. You know, because you can, there's a certain thing called, you know, paralysis by analysis. You still have to go out and make swings and all of that. But, you know, these are, to my way of thinking, they're great tools to use, but you still have to be able to perform these things, you know, on a repetitive basis. These are great to help you do that. But if you rely on them to improve your game too much, then I'm not sure how much it's going to help, because you still have to go out and practice.
Yeah, you've got to feel your swing. You've got to feel it. But that's the thing that these things can help you with, is find out what your feel is supposed to be, so that, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. And that's one of the hardest parts about the game, is figuring out, oh, you know, am I doing this right? It doesn't feel right. Oh, but it's right. Well, but it doesn't feel right because it's not a move that you do normally. Yeah.
Or if you're out on the practice range swinging and you're a pretty good player, or whatever, you think you know your swing, and things start to go awry, and you think that, well, this is what I'm doing wrong. A lot of times, if your instructor will look at you, or even something like the watch it golf will look at you, you'll find out that's not really what you're doing wrong. You're doing something else completely different than you thought.
Yes.
That will bring you back to what you need to work on.
I like that. Okay, this is Steve Pike. He's owner, editor. His website is spikeongolfandtravel.com. Real simple, spikeongolfandtravel.com. This guy has his golf partners... Okay, if you could only... He has played with Arnold Palmer, Nancy Lopez, rock star Alice Cooper, I wish, baseball legends Joe DiMaggio and George Brett, singer-songwriter Jimmy Buffett. He's interviewed and profiled the likes of former President Donald Trump, Tiger Woods, Muhammad Ali, Michael Jordan, Jack Nicklaus, Olympic gold medalist Scott Hamilton. So what would be your favorite foursome, I ask you, Steve Pike?
Theodore Roosevelt, Winston Churchill, and Elvis Presley.
Well, There's a lot in common. Yeah.
Well,
I love it. It's great.
Actually, there is. If you had an hour, I could break it all down for you, but I think that would be it.
Say that again. Theodore Roosevelt.
Winston Churchill.
Uh-huh. Elvis Presley. Uh-huh.
And Elvis Presley.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Uh-huh.
Yes, and they actually do have a lot in common, and in a way. I think that would definitely be it. That would be a golf foursome, and it would be a good dinner foursome as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, fascinating conversation. Now, what was Elvis?
I think the main difference, very quickly, if you have another 45 seconds or a minute,
oh sure,
is that Teddy Roosevelt and Winston Churchill grew up with the intent to be great men. They grew up with the intent to be great. Boris Johnson, who used to be the mayor of London, wrote a book about Churchill because he kind of thought he was Churchill in a way.
Mm.
Not, obviously.
Yeah, not.
But there's a word that he used for that, for trying to find greatness and to be great. Roosevelt and Churchill, for a lot of the same reasons and for different reasons, strived to be great men and became great men. Elvis Presley was a kid from Tupelo, Mississippi, who had greatness thrust upon him.
Huh.
And it would be fascinating to see the difference of how, and it is now, obviously you can see it, how those three men each handled it.
Wow. Interesting. It sounds like something you should write a book about. You've done that sort of thing, haven't you?
not to that extent. I've got a couple manuscripts for some books, and I've written a manuscript on the history of the Doral Golf Resort in Miami. And a partial manuscript on golf course architect Alexander Finley, but between everything else, I don't have time to actually finish them.
Yeah, let me just.
My son, however, who's 26 years old and has Asperger's syndrome, is going to publish his first book later on this summer on his challenges and his successes getting through the spectrum.
Wow!
So we're very proud of that.
Very cool. That is very cool. Yeah. I want to read that book. That is wonderful.
$16.99 in paperback, $39.99 in hardback. Comes out.
What's the name of it? What is the name of it?
Tentatively, it's going to be called Regular.
Regular?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you'll have to keep me apprised of what it actually is going to be called, so people can find it. Now, in case you want to know about Steve Pike and travel, and you know, like trusting what he says. We're going to have to do something about that cough of yours. Mom is coming out here. All right. He has climbed volcanoes in the Canary Islands, swam with the sharks off Guadalupe Island, ascended the Great Wall of China, dived Australia's Great Barrier Reef, teed off in the Austrian Alps, shared single malt scotch with Sir Michael Baladuck. How do you pronounce his name?
Baladuck.
Baladuck?
Benalik, yes.
Benalik. Okay, got to get into the groove, Danielle. At the Royal and Ancient Golf Club of St. Andrews, you have done so much. It is so exciting to see your life. And then I go to today to see what his, you know, most recent writing is. I go to Spike on golfandtravel.com. And what do I find? I mean, I am taken all of a sudden. He has written an article about American Humane Rescue. American Humane, the country's first national humane organization, offices in D.C. and Palm Beach. They've deployed forces to Georgia after those terrible tornadoes tore apart the towns and the families from their fur babies, for instance. Now, how did you get involved in that? I mean, this is such a departure.
Well, I get in that because a good friend of mine, a lady named Sally Shore, actually does the public relations for American Humane in Palm Beach. And she let me know that this is what that organization is doing. And I thought, well, this is a good way to help a great organization. It's a good way to help a friend. And dogs and cats travel. It's important that when good dogs and cats travel, or animal pets of any kind travel, that that they're taken care of as well as your kids are taken care of. So you have to have the same sort of resources, in place that you would take care of your kids during a tornado as you would your dog or your cat.
Yeah.
Or your hamster, your chinchilla, whatever it is.
Yeah. And now I'm going to switch the table around, because in addition to writing about the American Humane Rescue and Stream Song adding the chain and the bucket, which weird names, but for the regular person who can't spend $40 for a box of golf balls, Bridgestone Golf's new E6 is something you wrote about. Tell us about the new
E6. The E6 is a ball. It costs about $24.99 a dozen. I think it's around the suggested retail price, or that's the price it sells for. It's a three-piece ball that is has a nice solid cover to it. It's for people with a little bit slower swing speed who just want to have a little bit of extra distance and a little bit of extra feel, and don't really need to be able to fly the ball high and let it fly into a green and make it do all kinds of tricks and those sort of things. The E6, along with the E9 ball, which is their newest distance ball, these balls are good golf balls. They feel good. They do exactly what you think they were going to do for a little bit slower swing speed players. And they're just balls that you hit them, you chase them, and you hit them again.
And they're affordable. And, if sometimes you can't chase them and find them. So, there goes one ball. And that's why.
There goes one ball. But that's one of the beauties of them being $25 a dozen instead of $60 or $65 a dozen.
There you go.
Yeah. Most players, golf is such an aspirational game that most players sort of think that, well, I need this tour quality ball, or I need this premium ball. Why? Because tour players play with it, or so-and-so plays with it. But unless you have a swing speed of 105 miles an hour or so, those type of tour balls really don't do you any good. And it's sort of the same way with most equipment. The equipment today is so good, so dialed in, that it will do exactly what the manufacturers say it will do if you have that swing speed to match with that technology. That's why the manufacturers today have different kinds of clubs and different kinds of drivers and different kinds of balls to match swing speed.
Great. Steve Pike, owner, editor, Spike on golfandtravel.com. Award-winning. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Danielle. Have a good day.
You too. Aloha. Adam Shupak, Senior Writer, Golf Week, after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Evilé. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell. Honda, Maruyama, Steel, Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore.
KORL Waianae, Honolulu.
Poipu Bay on Kauai South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Got to make this 30-foot putt. Checking the break, three fingers, quieting the mind. Where's my putter?
I'm holding it. Let's go back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Adam Schuback, senior writer, Golf Week, and author of Dean Beeman, Golf's Driving Force. Welcome into the clubhouse, Adam.
Aloha. So good to speak with you this morning.
It's good to talk with you. And I have to tell you, I was hoping you'd call in earlier. So we have about 10 minutes. But I was thinking about, and you'll have to be back on soon, okay?
Sure.
Okay. Okay. So Dean Beeman, can we go straight to what you think Dean Beeman would think? You've written a book about him, so I figure you kind of have a sense of the man. What would he think of the LIV Golf drama situation with the PGA Tour?
He doesn't think it's good for golf, that's for sure. I did do a Q&A with them maybe a month or two, probably 2 or 3 months ago by now, where we did discuss this a bunch. And yeah, this to him, he doesn't see there being a viable business model. And, you know, I think he feels like the players have who've gone there are not acting in the best interests of the game, and so he's not very happy with how things are happening right now. But he's definitely in the court of Jay Monahan. He thought Jay was doing all the right things.
Oh, good, because Jay's come out with another idea that I don't think we have time to explore, because I'd really like to focus on. Well, one more thought: Teagate. Now, I was outraged, shocked, stunned, standing there watching television, walking around the house, and all of a sudden, you know, what is Patrick Reed doing walking up to Rory McIlroy on the driving range, expecting Rory to say hi, to shake his hand, to say, hey, yeah, you know, it's a great day, how you doing? And then when Rory doesn't respond, I mean, the fact that he just walked over there blew my mind. And then he flicks a tee at Rory. It's like, who is this guy? And then I was listening to other people talking a little bit about it. Does this really charge him up to win? Is this what it takes, having this kind of tension for Patrick Reed to feel like he can explode and do it?
He does seem to feed off of putting himself in positions like this. I don't understand what he's thinking, that you can go around suing, you know, people that you've worked with and play golf with all this time and just expect, you know, sending a subpoena on Christmas Eve and to Rory and he's gonna just, you know, give you a big hug and say Happy New Year. No, that's it's not rational. And
no.
It's not rational behavior, but I just don't know how much. I really question how much Patrick Reed really knows what his people are doing behind the scenes on his behalf. I think he's so focused on his golf. I wonder if he even knows that happened. But
wow.
Yeah, some of his comments were just were hard to fathom.
Really? So he might not even know what his legal team is doing?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that for sure. But
no, I get it.
I'm speculating a bit, but I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. But these lawsuits seem very frivolous. My company's even been part of it. My colleague Eamon Lynch has received part of it. It'll all, I guess, play out. And I just think there is going to be some bad blood. It'll be some, you know, very interesting circumstances at the majors when these guys are all together. And some of them don't mind each other and it's just, you know, much ado about nothing. But I think, you know, Rory, his relationships with some guys like Sergio have been fractured by, by some of the things that have happened and have been said with the LIV PGA Tour controversy.
Yeah, and we're talking about the DP World, the what was always called the European Tour. And it's great to see this. I mean, T1, Richard Bland, Thomas Peters, and U.S. amateur, Michael Thorbjørnsen. You know, I saw his last name. I went, who? I saw you saying,
yeah, you got to learn how to say that one, because he's going to be a stud. And you know, it seems like maybe this week he might already be a stud.
Yes.
But he's been one of the top juniors. And, you know, plays at Stanford and already had, I think, a tie for fourth last year at the Travelers. So he is not afraid of a big stage.
It's great. It's awesome. It's wonderful. I'm going to skip right down to T7. Patrick Reed, Matt Wallace, Bernd Wiesberger, Rory McIlroy, Dan Bradbury, Ian Poulter. It's a long list. But I was sitting yesterday thinking, and it was a question, is it really going to be Patrick Reed and Rory McIlroy the same?
I guess they decided not to pair them. And the interesting one is Henrik Stenson and Luke Donald, the dethroned Ryder Cup captain and the guy who got the job, you know, currently
yes.
is the European captain, paired together with Tyrrell Hatton, who's, you know, going to be Switzerland, the man in the middle between those two.
It's just, it's really, the dynamic is really unfortunate.
Yeah.
It's
you can't make some of the stuff up. It's too good.
No, you
makes
can't.
Makes my job easy.
Doesn't it? There's so much to write about. What could you, now you've also been taking some amazing pictures. So we're going to go from the European Tour over to the PGA Tour. And the Farmers Insurance Open is played on what must be one of the most beautiful places, because that sunset that you captured was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, it's a special place out here in a sunny, not so sunny right now, but usually sunny San Diego. I think you need the PGA Tour to come to town to get a cloudy day or for it to actually rain here. But it's been pretty nice all week. Temperatures just in about the 60s. We got a stacked leaderboard. This is going to be fun. You know, John Rahm's two back. He barely made the cut. I thought he was going to miss the cut, and then he went nuts. And here he is, right in position to win his third consecutive start, three of four of the PGA Tour events since the start of the calendar year. And feels kind of Tiger-esque the way he seems to dominate at this place. That's where he won his first tournament in 2017 on the PGA Tour and also the U.S. Open in 2021.
Yeah, we're at the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines now. Sam Ryder, John Rahm, Tony Finau, Sungjae Im, Colin Morikawa, Max Homa, Sahith Theegala. That's a really great leaderboard. And when you mention Tiger, we've come to that place where we can get excited about a tournament even though Tiger Woods isn't in it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, part of what Tiger keeps saying about, like, legacy and the history, that the LIV Tour is never going to have that. And, you know, these guys, they should be trying to chase after what Tiger did at Torrey. That's what I think John Rahm's trying to do. And you know, he knows that Tiger's one of those guys that won three in a row, so many times, but not many other guys have done it. You know, there's just a handful, not even a handful of them who've been able to do this, you know, in the last 20, 30 years. So it's exciting today to see if John Rahm can pull this off. But, you know, poor Sam Ryder's just trying to get his first win of his career. It's his 147th start, and he's got, you know, half the President's Cup team right on his tail. If not John Rahm, it could be Colin Morikawa or Max Homa or Tony Finau, who shot 64 yesterday.
Yes, or Sungjae Im. You know, it's like,
yeah.
It's incredible how I never expected the Sony, you know, for things to turn around the way they did. And boom, Will Zalatoris missed the cut. Can you tell us why, what you think? Is it his back? It seems ominous.
I think he's just probably working through some rust of having taken off. You know, he was injured back at the BMW Championship in August, and you know, he didn't need surgery, which is, I think, a good thing with the back. But he's in the process of making some swing changes so that he won't have the same issue. And so that takes some time to adjust, to get the trust out there. I think he's going to, you know, as long as he can stay healthy, I think, you know, he's going to be, he's such a great ball striker. I thought maybe he finished lost in a playoff here at Torrey Pines last year. So it seemed like a good venue for him. Just didn't get it done at, you know, down the stretch. He needed to make one last birdie, made a bogey at 17, and needed the birdie putt at 18 just to make the cut. So he's off this week. I don't think he's in the field at Pebble. I don't know how much he'll play, you know, 3-4 events in a row. So he'll have a week off and then probably be at, I'd imagine, at Phoenix and L.A.
We're talking right now, Adam Shupak, senior writer, Golf Week magazine. Great articles, Adam. And I just want to mention, because we're running out of time here, great shots of merchandise at Torrey Pines. Okay. From the shoes with the Torrey Pines logo on the heel, the posters, the tees, the fancy shirts, the refrigerator magnets. Are they everywhere or what? I want more girly stuff. Okay. So, you know, show me.
I usually do a better job at that, I think, of my wife a lot, but it just didn't seem like they had a very, it didn't seem as good a selection there that this particular time, but I will make note of that. I'll do a better job.
and how cool to hear Trevor Immelman talking with Max Homa while Homa is walking down the fairway to his next shot. That was cool.
Yeah, a great new wrinkle. I hope that more players will agree to do it. It's something that they, you know, tend to be reluctant to do, but you know, as Homa said, you know, they're entertainers. This is an entertainment product, so they need to try to entertain. And if there's one good thing that comes from all this live, is, you know, competition has forced the PGA Tour to make some changes that are a bit stodgy and slow in progress. And I think I put this on the list of positives that, you know, the TV product may be better. And I felt like it already was just watching yesterday with that one particular hole.
I did too. I was like, huh?
Yeah, you really learned something. And the fact that, you know, it was kind of lucky that he was in contention too, that added to it. You know, they asked him about this, I guess, 2 months ago. So, you know, I guess they needed him, first of all, to make the cut. But, you know, the fact that he was in contention and was getting TV time, it just felt very natural I expect they're going to continue to try to do this.
Adam Shupak, senior writer, Golf Week, author Dean Beeman, Golf's Driving Force. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Awesome. We'll do it again soon. Okay. So I need to thank the people who make this show possible. Aloha Power Equipment. They've got you covered. Okay. You're covered. All you got to do is go to the Evile store on Alakava. If something's broke, just go to Alakava Street, right near the Evile Costco. It's right there, and you can get all of the merchandise. The manufacturers is list, you know, steel. All the guys, just go inside. You'll see your section. You can go straight to it. They put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment. Got what you need at the Evile store on Alakava and, of course, their Waipahu store. The largest selection of power equipment from all the major manufacturers, putting power at your fingertips. SIPAC for cybersecurity for your company or your nonprofit, any organization or private person, SIPAC is an elite group of cyber specialists providing the deepest level of protection anywhere in Hawaii. Call 808-861-9595. Online, SIPAC.com. The Aloha Section, PGA, the home of the Professional Golfers Association. They're the ones putting together the PGA show. In Hawaii, the best way to get good at the game of golf is to learn from a PGA. It takes time to become one. They love this game. They've seen so much and they've learned so much, and they can share with you. Call the Aloha Section, 593-2230. That's 593-2230. PGA of America member near you. MD Restoration, call MD Restoration, 528-3434. Restoration for you know, anything. Like, you need your carpets taken care of, great. Unfortunately, if something floods, not great. But MD Restoration can take care of emergencies like that, like broken water pipes or water coming inside when it's supposed to stay outside. Mold remediation, MD Restoration, licensed contractors. So you get to know them while they're fixing everything. Then they can actually go in and do the repairs that you need to have done. So MD Restoration. Thank you for your mana. You can hear us at RadioGolfClub.com. The podcast is there, RadioGolfClub.com. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club. Aloha.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2023.